Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN SC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by just me and you today, Craig. What a treat here in the studio. And it was looked like it was going to be quite a slow day, but then good old IFAB thought, let's throw in a blue card for a Thursday and see what we can get out of it. This is the new proposal, which is set to come out tomorrow. Top-tier competition excluded from initial. So it's going to be initial testing first at lower leagues. But here's the basis of it. Fouls that prevent a promising attack or dissent will result in a blue card, which will see that player removed from the pitch for 10 minutes. If you receive two blue cards, or a combination of a yellow and a blue, you'll be getting a red card. Oh, FIFA have come out and said, calm down, this is going to happen anytime soon. It's going to be tested at much lower league levels before we go anywhere near contemplating it's going to happen. But we may as well discuss it. Jan is here. Frank as well. Craig, you like this idea?
We may as well discuss it because it's getting quite a few of us a little angry with these Muppets that run the game, because we're in a scenario where it's already difficult enough for the officials. They can't even implement the yellow and red cards properly.
Right.
Without most folks at home are watching in the stadium frothing at the mouth and want to rip the heads of officials off. This is a conspiracy. He lives 20 miles from Liverpool. He lives in the outskirts of London. He can't referee that game. So all these things where referees are making these decisions and they're getting accused of this, that and the next thing, and we're talking about the VAR decisions that have been right and wrong and the subjectivity of it. And before we know it, when we're still trying to get this correct and get it to a level of acceptability, these idiots are already, they've gone. They're lapping people around the track and going, I tell you what, never mind that. We'll keep getting the yellows and the reds wrong. We'll keep getting the VAR decisions wrong. We'll keep getting the communication wrong and all that. But we're going to sling another one in and talk. We're going to sling a blue card in. Because if you show dissent, you can get a blue card then and go to the bin for 10 minutes. If you show dissent, you get a yellow card. Guess what? That's always been the case. In fact, it's been tightened this season. Mm. If you waste time, you get a yellow card. If you're the goalkeeper, you're taking a throw-in, you waste time, you're given a yellow card much quicker this year than you were in previous years. So it is an absolute... No, I can just imagine the referees going, oh, no, another layer that I've got to deal with. It's just crazy.
Frank, what do you think?
I'm 100% for the blue card.
Oh.
And I'm 100% for that the IFAB copies what we can see in rugby. I follow and carefully followed the World Cup last fall, and I found that the possibility of putting somebody out for 10 minutes was a very good idea. I think in order to please maybe Craig and those who think that is not a very good idea to add something else, you know, maybe we can get rid of the yellow card, just ban the players for 10 minutes for in order for him to calm down, and if he carries on, you know, give him a red card. And like they do in rugby, don't let the guy on the field, the referee, deciding for the red card. I mean, why don't we copy I think for me the best example rugby do? It works. They explain everything. They have no complaints about that. It's clear. It's agreed by everybody. And I think we should do the same.
But they don't have a yellow card per se in rugby, Frank. They have the yellow card, but it has a different...
It's why I say get rid of the yellow card. It's what I said before. But get rid of the yellow card.
And
just put the guy aside for 10 minutes. Then he comes back.
No.
Well, first of all, it's good. We have won four and war against, and then we go to Norway. That is good. But I will start by saying, Frank, I think that one of the reasons football is so popular around the world is that we understand the rules, that we make it simple. And if you think back at Sheffield Football Club, the first football club ever, if they thought about the red, yellow and blue card, they were kind of, I don't think they would have invented football. That's point one. But I will want to go back where Craig was, but this IFAB kind of meeting. Imagine they're sitting there. So half of them won't come in for lunch because they have a great lunch. So they come back. So they say, listen, we have two big problems in football. First of all, this VAR that we've done, good idea. It's too slow, takes too long time. We're waiting 5 minutes for an offside position. Okay, yeah, we know that. What about the handball rule? Nobody understands it around the world. The referees say something about it before every season. First game of the season, all rules are broken. Nobody understands it. It's no consistency. So I'm imagining this meeting. Then somebody will say, well, I have an idea. Instead of we try to fix that and try to get the fans on our side, why don't we put in another card? And then another say, we make it blue. That is a great idea. So two blue makes a red. A blue and a yellow will make a red. Start by sorting out your problems. And Frank, I understand you're for it, but first we have to solve a couple of other things before we start another thing that will be complicated. Can you imagine if one player goes out for 10 minutes and then we have a VAR situation looking for an offside take 5 minutes? What is happening then? Is that going to be 15 minutes? This is so complicated that we have psychiatrists have to be referees. We can't have referees anymore. I mean, now, Frank, all due respect, you won the World Cup, but here you're wrong.
Let's just go. These people want to go the whole hog. They're going to want to change the name. It's not going to be football or soccer. It's going to be round ball or some softball or some ball, some balls up somewhere. Oh, well, let's have a... What do they do in Australia in that the Australian rules football? It's a bit of an oval pitch. Yeah, I think we'll chuck up. Yeah, we'll change the pitch as well. The pitch is just a bit boring. Why don't we just change everything?
And 30 minutes will come soon.
On top of that, what happens, by the way, you know, when players get sent to the sin bin for subjective decisions by the referee, right? What we've tried to get away from around the globe with this sport, with the subtle changes that have been made in the game in the last 25 years, 20 years, is to make it more entertaining. And I think we can pretty much all agree, out with this last 2 or 3 years of the VAR and the frustrations and the technology, the game has been more entertaining on the field, for the neutral, for the fan, for the viewer at home in the last 15 years than it was, say, in the 90s when we were playing. It has got better. When you start sin-binning people, what will happen is, generally, as Frank's making the rugby point, is it's backs-to-the-wall stuff. So, for example, Man City are playing somebody in mid-table or are facing relegation. They're already struggling to get out. And all of a sudden, they have a man sent off to this stupid blue card in 10 minutes. What that is going to take for at least 10 minutes, any chance of a spectacle, completely out of the equation. But, and that goes against the grain of what the governing bodies have been trying to do to make it more entertaining. Now we have a scenario where down to 10 men, what happens when when a team gets sent off, Frank? When a team has a player sent off, not all the time, but generally, they retreat back to the edge of the box, apart from Tottenham this season, that is, and they leave one guy up front and they say, OK, try and beat us. That's not entertainment.
OK, that's not entertainment. So, I refer to what I saw with rugby, where I think when those kind of decisions to put somebody aside for 10 minutes didn't take like 5 minutes to decide to. So why football will take 5 minutes to decide to put somebody 10 minutes aside? And again, football evolves, as you just say, Craig. I think the last pass to the goalkeeper 20 or 30 years ago was a great idea to make the game being better. So evolvement of that made the football better. So you have to be open to any ideas to make it better. I think the yellow card is not a good idea. I think the blue card is a better idea because you can maybe think of finishing a game 11 against 11. But I don't agree with you by the fact that it will take like 5 minutes to decide to put somebody out for 10 minutes. That's untrue. I didn't see that for the rugby. Why again? You want to see that?
Yeah, but
for
the rugby.
Greg. I want to just to say I understand a lot of the changes that's been made that was in the art of football. This is the back pass rule. I mean, whoever invented that, there should be a statue of that guy at every stadium around the world. Brilliant idea, good for football, you know? But the blue card kind of thing, and how we do VAR and VAR. I mean, the VAR, I've always been a fan of VAR, everything that can make things fairer. But when I hear, and I'm a big fan of American sport, but when they start comparing our soccer with American football, where they stop and they used to have Michael Jackson and now they have Taylor Swift running amongst them at halftime doing all that. We don't do that. That is a different sport. It's not to say that ours is better. It's just different. No. So when they say why don't we do the same, that we can listen to the referee, we can listen to the linesman, and is that in the art of how we want our game? If the answer is yes, do it. But a blue card for me, Frank, is not, how will that make football better? That will only make it more complicated. There will always be a camera standing with this guy being mad, and he will, can he warm up? Will there be an extra coach just looking for the guys in the sin bins and all that kind of thing? Is that the art of football?
I'm only doing
it. Okay, I understand. You play for Norway. You play in red. You play for Middlesbrough. You play in red. You're against everything blue. I understand that because you are exaggerating everything, really. You are really exaggerating and trying to find, you know, errors from having the blue card. And even you are putting ahead that the guy has to maybe warm up for 10 minutes. Again, take the example of rugby. They have VAR. They have kind of a VAR. They have that blue card. It works. Why don't we copy them? Are we that stupid that we can't copy rugby? Is that so? Are we so simple in a bad way, in a bad determination or definition of the word simple, that we cannot do like rugby does? I'm very stunned by what you are saying and the points that you're putting ahead. I mean, it doesn't reflect of what we are capable of doing. I think it's an idea that we can go a little bit further to see if it works or not. I agree for one thing, get rid of the yellow card and put that blue card, because I think it will help the football.
Well, talk about
that. But we can't compare sports, can we?
Well, let's talk, while we're on rugby, just briefly. The French were playing the Irish last Friday in the Six Nations, and they had a man yellow carded, Willemser, and it was for a high dangerous head tackle, and then he was red carded for something similar after coming back on after the 10 minutes. The difference here is they use it in rugby for these dangerous tackles. So when you're challenging in rugby and it's with the head on head, they'll give you a yellow or a red if it happens a second time. If you back chat in rugby, which is what they're suggesting would come under the dissent. No, if you back chat in rugby, it's not a yellow card. If you back chat in rugby and if it's a free kick, the referee just walks just 10 yards forward and then that team progresses 10 yards. You don't get sent for 10 minutes in rugby.
But why would it not work? The referee knows what's being said.
We had that, Craig.
You swear at me as a referee, you're yellow carded. Sorry? But does the punishment fit the crime?
Yeah.
Why should you get two chances to swear at me?
Well, you're sent off then.
But why should you get two strikes? You swear at me, you're going out for 10 minutes. Done. That's it. Everybody knows that. Yeah, that will stop the dissent, surely.
But we have rules, so Dan. Exactly. We, at the moment,
but they're not working yet. They're not working at the moment, are they? These rules.
No. So okay. Listen, if we walk through lives and if things not working, we just do another thing who's not working. I mean, what is that a kind of thing? We have to make sure that the rules that are doing we have done now, maybe in the future. Frank, I don't want to be not modern and say maybe one day
Frank,
we'll
not talking about the handball.
We're not talking about here yet.
And here's the problem.
Let's sort out...
There's a distinct lack of referees at the moment, wherever you are in the world, because nobody wants the abuse.
Right, that's abuse from the top. That's abuse from the sidelines.
Dan, we have the rules now.
But it doesn't work.
But then try to let them work instead of making another rule that doesn't work. Why should we do that?
If you're a player, you're going to think twice about telling the referee's an idiot if you're going to get sent off for 10 minutes and as opposed to just getting a yellow.
But you're saying the referee, you're saying that doesn't work. You tell me how it doesn't work and I'll shoot your argument down. 50 years ago, you could say what you want. 40 years ago, you could almost tackle the referee.
No, you get a yellow, red,
30 years ago, you get away with murder. Gradually, you get away with less. Right. It used to be when Diego Maradona was playing and he went to Spain, Italy, they might as well have come out with an axe and tried to chop his legs off. Mm.
And Claudio Gentile.
And that's what went on then. It has changed, and it is working. What's wrong is the referees are not getting enough decisions correct. That's got nothing to do with sending people to the sin bin. Years ago, you could swear and cuss and scream at a referee in his face, "You!" And I've done it, right? But I did it because you get away with it. You can't get away with that now. It gives you a yellow. Now you're in a position, you're on a yellow after 20 minutes, it's a problem. And if people say it's not working, what do you mean it's not working? He's on a yellow. He makes a rash challenge, he's going to go off. Those are the rules. Why would you want to convolute those rules? The laws of the game have become more stringent and they're tighter than they have ever been. The problem is not that. The problem is the attitude and the reactions from, I'm not going to say supporters, but I'm going to say coaching staff, to referees, players to referees, and when players do react to the officials, they're booked. But the big problem here is not a yellow, a blue, and a red card, it's the fact that officials, in the main, are not getting enough of these big decisions correct. That's got nothing to do with talking back to your referee. You talk back to the referee, you get a yellow card. That's simple. And then you've got one strike left. And that's always been the case. In fact, it's not always been the case. It used to be you could have as many strikes as you wanted. You almost had to tackle and assault the referee to get a yellow card.
Craig, that's really true what you say, and I completely agree. And the fact that some players think they're allowed to abuse the referee should be severely punished. And I was the first one. And because I knew that the ref wouldn't say anything, I was pretty hard on the referees. And I many times deserved a yellow card they never gave me. But like some corner kicks when we see players pulling other players, they don't apply the rules. You know, you were talking about that free kicks. Like, for example, we had a free kick and somebody was complaining, you put 10 yards ahead the free kick. It was a rule. It was a rule before. It happens. It worked. But it disappeared. How come? I don't know. You complain. At least if I don't want to give you a yellow card, I put 10 yards ahead. It works.
Here's where this falls down. In any given period of a match, say four players from a side make four rash tackles in the space of 10, 15 minutes. Every one of them can be given a yellow card, correct? Is that going to affect the game per se at that point? Mm-hmm. No, it's not. How are you going to police these ridiculous blue cards if we have 3, 4, 5 incidents within one half? Are we going to send them all?
Are we going to send
four players to the sin?
Can I say something? But first of all, we know now, we understand that where we stand on this. Well, we have to be a bit sober when we discuss what has been done. The refereeing is getting better. There is a better flow in the game. I'm born in 67. I remember 82 World Cup when they kind of kicked Diego Maradona out of the World Cup. There are some good rules here that is going well. And we have to respect the referees for doing that. I still see that all these kind of subjective ways that the referee got to do out there, that has nothing to do with VAR. That is about the referees making a decision. Why should we make it more complicated for them? And that's why I go back to the art, Frank. And that's why I don't care. They probably will say we need a green card as well because of sustainability or something. That will be anything.
We've got one of those.
Next.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But how many? Okay. I've got to do this. I've got to do it because we brought it up. How many people can be sent?
All of them
to the sin bin.
Everyone can go in the sin bin.
So if I've come out and say, oh well, no, they can only send two people per half.
No. It's going to be everyone. Otherwise, you can't put a cap on it. We've already had two.
I'm sorry.
It's nonsense. It's nonsense.
Craig, I'm sorry, but if you have your teammate,
yeah,
on the sin bin.
Yeah.
Will you do a stupid tackle to join him?
Well,
no, you refrain yourself. You're going to think twice, and you say, well, otherwise we're going to be without two players.
Frank,
so it's like
Frank,
a yellow card.
Frank,
you're going to calm down.
Frank, we've done it. We've had two sin bins worth of discussion on this. 20 minutes already. That brings us...
There's only one person going to the sin bin. That's the Frenchman.
That is it. Right. Thank you very much. Stay tuned. Extra Time's next.
We'll be back tomorrow.
Be sure to come over to our YouTube channel and subscribe to ESPN FC.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Right then, big game in Germany on Saturday. Bayer Leverkusen taking on Bayern Munich. 2 points separate these two sides going into this clash. Bayer Leverkusen, of course, unbeaten in all competitions so far this season. What do the bookies say? I'm intrigued to see. And they've got Bayern Munich as favourites. Bayer Leverkusen as outsiders. Jan, of course, the last time these two teams met, it was 2-2. I think everyone but Bayern Munich supporters want Bayer Leverkusen to do well in this tie and go on and be competitive right up to that final day. Will they?
Oh, well, I think you're 100% right on that, because we've seen over 11 years, and we used to be Dortmund being the big challengers. Then they say, oh, this is the title decider. We are going to Dortmund. And then Joshua Kimmich or someone else who haven't scored for 3 years will score with a deflected shot 2 minutes before the end, and they will win 1-0 or in the first minute. But what I like this season, Dan, is that they play against a team that's been very consistent in their performances. You see what Alonso would like to do. You see the way he plays. You see the pattern. You see what he want to do. The only thing they are missing is what Bayern got. They got a culture of winning games. decisive game, winning titles. But what I like with this Leverkusen team is that they got a great balance in the team. They don't concede a lot of goals. They got Xhaka in there, who is brilliant for their balance in midfield. They score goals. They got Florian Wirtz. But we always have to have a look at Bayern as well, because if you see behind Leverkusen, they are 2 points behind Leverkusen at the moment. In terms of points, Bayern have made a great season. And the only problem is that there are other expectations on Bayern, because they should not only win the games, they are actually going to play brilliantly, entertaining. They're going to do the Bayern way, and they haven't done that. But I guess we all neutrals, we hope for Leverkusen to win that game. Not to win the title, but I think it's so important for Leverkusen to show that they can win a decisive game. And that would make them all the best for the rest of the games in the Bundesliga.
Kiss of death, isn't it? But I do feel you can trust Bayer Leverkusen more than you could, for example, last year's Dortmund.
Yeah, you do, actually. Funny you should say that. And even without the main guy, Boniface, up front, who's not due back, I think, sometime until March. Patrick Schick's come back in after some injury problems, trying to get up to speed. They brought in Borja Iglesias, obviously, as cover. Jan mentioned Florian Wirtz. Granit Xhaka has sort of curtailed the disciplinary issues, although he came close last week to picking up a booking that almost meant he was going to miss this game. And in the wide positions, they've been really good as well, with Grimaldo and Frimpong. I am much more convinced about Leverkusen than I am about Tuchel's Bayern Munich. I just think they've looked. I watched them last week against Gladbach at home. They got the job done in the end, but it was like walking through treacle for long periods. The week before, I think it was Augsburg away, where again they got the job done, but they were under so much pressure early on. And we're expecting, Jan will know better than me, but we're expecting Kim to be back at least, to come back in, because I think if you're looking at, I think if you're Leverkusen and it was to be that back pairing, who've not done anything wrong thus far as a pairing, but if those fullbacks push on and were to leave Dier and De Ligt if Kim's not ready to play, I don't fancy them at all, to be honest. So they've got good players. We know they've got good players, Bayern have, as Jan said. And generally, over the last decade plus, they've stepped up.
Yeah.
They've stepped up in moments where it hasn't been going well for them, and they've pulled this rabbit out of the hat. Is this the year, though, that they, certainly domestically, that they can't do it? Because, if they keep Harry Kane quiet, you know, Musiala, any of these guys, you know, Leroy Sané, they have their moments. But as a team, as a unit, I think Leverkusen, for me, are a better unit. And for Thomas Tuchel, it's all about, well, that was a great bit of individual brilliance, and that was great from Zan, and that was great from Musiala. Whereas Leverkusen, it's about this whole sum of the parts that they have.
Jan, who would you prefer to be? Bayern Munich having that rest, obviously not playing midweek, or Bayer Leverkusen to get that dramatic late winner to keep that winning momentum going?
Well, if you asked me a week ago, I would say it was not an advantage because of the risk of getting players injured and you can lose your first game against Stuttgart. But the way again, that was a great culture kind of thing that they're trying to implant in this team. They're winning late in Augsburg. They're winning late against Leipzig. They're winning late now in the quarterfinal. And this is a club that never wins anything. And now they're getting close in the cup. Alonso's getting close in the Bundesliga. But I think that the major thing, this is all about culture going into this game. Yes, we can talk about all the stuff that is going on the pitch. And I share the analysis of Bayern that Craig just told us. But the problem is, and you got that right, the problem for Bayern is that Alonso is the coach of Leverkusen. Now, we shouldn't underestimate that, because if you are out in a game like this, is it all about trophies? Who do you look at? You will look at an Alonso. You can see that the team of Leverkusen, that is a mirror of the leadership of Xabi Alonso. And no disrespect to Terzic, no disrespect to Dortmund last season, but you never knew which Dortmund team will turn up. Mm. We know which Leverkusen team will turn up in Bayer Arena on Saturday. We know about that. Bayern could be better. Harry Kane could score his 25th goal of the season. Musiala could do some magic. But we still know what Leverkusen will do. I saw them against Gladbach in that 0-0 game. They looked that they couldn't get through. So that could happen in a game like this as well. And Harry Kane can do his stuff. We don't know about that. But we know that Leverkusen will play a proper, good, organized game where they control, try to control the game, control the ball, and eventually then control Bayern.
What's your prediction, Greg?
Boy, that's a tough one, isn't it? I'm going to say Leverkusen to open that up to 5 points.
Really?
Yeah, putting and not to say the title would be over, but really asking Thomas Tuchel so many more questions. I'm going to go for 2-1 Leverkusen.
2-1 Leverkusen?
Aye.
Jan, it should be a cracker. Whatever happens, what do you think will happen?
I will do a shaka. I will sit on the fence.
Okay.
So I will say, I will give two results. I will say that either Leverkusen will hammer Bayern, 3 or 4-0, or Bayern will win with one of those Bayern thing and win a tight game 1-0.
And then you'll go on Twitter saying, I told you. No. I told you Bayern would win 1-0.
I thought he was going to say it was going to be a 2-2 as well.
Which do you think is the more likely scenario, Jan? You've got to commit one way or the other.
Yeah. A Leverkusen win. Absolutely.
Wow.
I 100% believe that Leverkusen will play a great game. They have the confidence. They have a culture now of winning games in the last minutes. Not a bad skill to have. And also, they got Xabi Alonso. I mean, have a look at him. Will he be stressed by this? He's been in the same situation all his career.
Wow.
If he didn't give an answer there, that was a blue card.
I think so. 10 minutes now?
10 minutes.
That's where Frank is at the moment.
Frank's if you're wondering, he's been sent to the shin bin to watch rugby.
So it is Bayer Leverkusen then against Bayern Munich. It should be absolutely brilliant. Our coverage starts at noon Eastern on Saturday on ESPN+.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Meanwhile, Borussia Dortmund are in action tomorrow. They take on Freiburg. Jadon Sancho has come back very much loving life at the moment. In an interview he gave, he just talked about how he loves it in Dortmund. He loves the support he gets from the fans. And he was asked during that interview about which coaches in particular have affected his career.
It's not just one... one coach or like one friend, as I felt like everyone's played their part, even good or bad, because if it's bad, you know, you learn from it and it makes you better. And if it's good, then it's good, you know? So all the coaches I've had, good or bad, it's not, I don't take it out on them because the experience is part of life, you know? If it's bad, then you learn from it and then you move on. If it's good, then it's good. So, you know, I feel like a lot of coaches and friends and family have played a part in my life to get where I am, so I'm very grateful. When it's not going so well, you just learn from it, you know? No hard feelings.
Jadon Sancho saying everything. Oh, he's back from his 10 minutes out. And Frank is with us as well.
Alternative vocabulary there, was there, from young Mr. Sancho? If it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad. You learn from it.
I mean, there you go.
There you go. Brilliant.
He's saying all the right things, I suppose, Jan, as he has since he's returned to Germany.
Yes. I've interviewed him many times. This is not a guy who will give you a surprise answer at anything. But I think what we see now is a Sancho who comes back where he had success, of course. He is back where he is accepted. You saw that he was hugging CEO Vatske there at the end of the interview. This is the same Vatske say, Sancho doesn't have any attitude problem. He's only coming too late then and again. But I think that they do accept him for who he is. I think that was the right move for him to go back. And again, I will say that when I see different players have the attitude problem, I just for their sake, and there are three of us in the studio today who loved our profession to full. We love playing football. We can sit back now and said we did as much as we could based on the talent we had, very close to 100%. And I hope that Sancho one day will not think back and think, oh, I should done a bit more. I should be having a clock that was good and things like that. Because to throw your career away is only like 12, 13 years of your life is a terrible thing. And I hope he doesn't experience that because it's up to him. He can blame, he can do a blame game on Ten Hag for the rest of his life. It doesn't help when he's sitting in a pub in Manchester.
Yeah, I'm speaking the truth here, Frank.
Yes, he is. And I'm concerned about those players who are not capable of doing any mea culpa and feel or show they have no regrets. I think you have kind of a regret when you play for Manchester United that you have the possibility of getting the best of the best and helping and in fact being stubborn and in a way that you have to go back to Dortmund to play your game. That's sad. And as Jan said, hopefully he's not going to regret it. And hopefully he's going to give 100% for Dortmund and will be outstanding like he was before leaving and going to Manchester United. But allow me to have some doubts. I mean, you don't go back clear from a story like that. The media is going to chase you and make sure that you make a mistake to jump on you. It's going to be hard for him until the end of his career. Hopefully he's going to manage.
He arrived in the big choppy waters of the Premier League and he sunk. He couldn't swim. And he's gone back to where he's got his comfort blanket, can say all he wants. He is at a club now, it's a big club, but it's not really an ambitious club. Doesn't really fight for all the major trophies. He won't be involved with England, even if he plays well between now and the end of the season. He won't beat the Euros. And even looking at those stats, which are pretty poor, apart from the 2021 season at Dortmund, where he rattled a good few goals in, well, that was when the Euros were on at 2021. And he still, even then, was only a bit part player in that England squad. There is something deeper down here than just the odd manager to not fancying him, not playing him, not liking his attitude. There is something else going on with this young man that has taken him back here. And look, he's got a talent, but guess what? There are a lot of young players around the world who've got talent. Mm. And at this moment in time, he hasn't utilised it very well. He had a big opportunity. And I don't have any issue with any player not playing well. None whatsoever. It can happen, particularly with youngsters. But I do really have an issue with somebody who, you know, wouldn't go, I tell you what, that dressing room needs help. I don't like the manager, but I'm going to eat some humble pie here. I'm going to go back in. The lads will accept me again because I've said I'm sorry. I'll go back in, I'll roll my sleeves up and we move on. He didn't want to do that. He just wanted to go back into his comfort zone and get the hell out of there. And I think this is going to follow this lad around pretty much for most of his career.
Well, just a reminder, as I mentioned, he'll be in action tomorrow. Borussia Dortmund taking on Freiburg is our early game. Then, of course, Saturday, as we mentioned, Bayer Leverkusen against Bayern Munich. Our coverage starts at 12 p.m. Eastern. Just a reminder, this is how the top of the Premier League looks. So Liverpool, of course, suffering that defeat at Arsenal, has opened things up. City with a victory on Monday, just 2 points behind. Arsenal, 2 points adrift. Yannis, the first time you've been on since you've been battling with people all over the internet about the celebrations from your boy Martin Odegaard on the pitch after that victory against Liverpool.
Yeah, well, Here's the deal. Martin Ødegaard, they're winning a game against Liverpool, deservedly. They had to win it twice in first and second half. Stewart, the photographer, has been here since 1991. He likes to share that moment with him. And then some people from another time, players that used to play in the 90s, where we probably didn't have cameras at all, that is a bad thing to do. And please, football is about emotions. Football is about passion. And sometimes, yes, I could be BS because he's a Norwegian. I know Martin since he was 15. Yes, I'm BS. But there are also some pundits being BS where they are from and which club they see. Because I've seen some Manchester United people, some Liverpool people running onto the pitch. Then I had to go at Arteta as well. So I look forward to the end of the season. This is going to be a fun season when even the pundits are having a battle.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm loving it.
Yeah, the problem is, as a general rule of thumb in the UK, there is, and I make no secret of it, a bunch of pyjama-wearing, scarf-waving pundits.
Do you not wear pyjamas, Craig? Hmm? Do you not wear pyjamas? Do we need that mental image?
Well, I don't wear pyjamas at the former clubs when I go to games. And that's what we've got at the moment. We have a bunch of people, including some of the networks, who are almost parodies of the club channel. They allow this thing. They allow the blinkered view. And look, when it comes to Arsenal, you know what would be worse here for me? If Martin Odegaard was blanking these people behind the scenes,
okay,
you know, people that take the pictures, people that do the jobs that nobody sees, you know, people that have been at clubs for a long time. It's like Neil Barnett, the spy when he was at Chelsea, Neil who used to be on Sirius XM radio. Neil was at Chelsea for years, but the players really had a relationship with him. And sometimes he overstepped it because he came in the dressing room and he got thrown in the bath. You know what I mean? So he was trying to get all his equipment off before he got in the bath. But, you know, you have a rapport with these people. You don't blank them. And in the big moment, sometimes you have these little special things between the people. And the fact that we have some in the UK who cherry pick, and that's what it is, they cherry pick the analysis and they cherry pick what's right and wrong between certain clubs is annoying. Look, if you can't celebrate, we can't all win the league. We can't all win the Champions League. We can't all win the World Cup. When can you celebrate? It was the biggest game of the weekend in England by far. It was a big performance and Arsenal enjoyed it. Why would you decry them that?
Frank, it's the first time that we've been able to discuss with you the Premier League title race since this result. Do you want to talk about the title race or do you want to talk about the celebration?
I'd rather talk about the celebration because I loved it. I mean, yesterday also in Paris, the lady who cleans for 30 years all gears for the PSG players have been celebrated and gave a kickoff, and I thought it was great. And when I saw Martin taking the pictures of the photographer, I thought it was only nice. And it's nice to change sometimes, you know, the positioning of anybody, and from a player becoming a photographer and taking a picture of the photographer. I think it was only nice, and I think he was doing it because he loved the guy and he wants to share a great time with him, and that's going to be forever. And I just love it. For some people who complain about that, I don't think they have a problem with their lives, you know, really, because that's only nice, and we can see two guys happy to do something together. About the Premier League title, I was very disappointed with Liverpool, I have to say, especially the first half. I mean, that wasn't the level I was expecting. We talked about that game before before it happened. We were expecting a top games, and I was disappointed by Liverpool. Arsenal did the job. There are nothing to complain about. The goals were mostly bad goals, not nice. I don't give a good memory about that game, and I will never. It's not the top games of the century for sure.
But if you said this at the start of the season, there's a neutral looking at the Premier League, and if you're the Premier League, if you're in the Premier League offices as well, you're looking at this going, we couldn't have asked for anything better.
No.
You know what I mean? There's nothing worse than, and it happens sometimes, you know, and City have been very dominant, and this could be a record if they win the league, and it's, that could be a problem going ahead, but then that problem sort of dissipates when Guardiola leaves. A bit like the worry about Klopp leaving Liverpool that the Liverpool fans are having. Or how are we going to get that back? But this is great for the Premier League, and whether it goes all the way to the end of the season or not remains to be seen. But yeah, I mean, Liverpool have to pick themselves up, and Arsenal look good, Jan.
I just want to move it on because we spent a lot of time before talking about cards. Who's going to win the Premier League, Odegaard or Haaland?
I think that Manchester City will win it because they made three signings this transfer window were brilliant. John Stones, Erling Haaland and Kevin De Bruyne.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. Extra time is available over on the YouTube channel. Jan and Franca will be back.
Who's the fat guy at the end? Oh, it's me.
Oh, OK, all right. No, I was like, you're all right, you're OK. Well, it's winter. Right,
you've got to get some blubber on for
exactly.
winter.
Exactly, you know, a little bit of warmth for you. Craig, you're not on tomorrow, so I just wanted to touch on you. The other big game we're seeing on ESPN Plus this weekend, Real Madrid against Girona. Real Madrid will go into the tie, no doubt, as favourites. But it's not a foregone conclusion, is it, this match?
Absolutely not. And particularly if Dovbyk's back, which I think he is.
Dovbyk's back.
Big Ukrainian striker who was absent for the Real Sociedad game. A right handful he is. I think Michel's not going to be on the sidelines. The manager.
The coach is suspended, yeah.
So he's suspended. Difference what it'll make, I'm not sure. Daley Blind's out. I hear you. Yeah, Daley Blind. But he's actually been good.
Yes.
He's been really good for them. So they have a few problems, but then Real Madrid have their own issues. No foregone conclusion. Girona play some great stuff. I think if you're in the neutral camp, you're thinking, it'd be nice if Girona win this because, then it's definitely going to push it all the way. And I wouldn't be surprised. Actually, I would not be surprised if Girona were to win this because Real Madrid have not been convincing. They've not been convincing. And dare I say it, Jude Bellingham has just fallen off a little bit from those big performances, and obviously they've got the problems at the back that you guys and myself have talked about for a few days now.
Yeah, of course, those problems being if Rudiger's unfit again.
It's Nacho and Carvajal.
Do you go Nacho and Carvajal again?
Well, bearing in mind the late goal they lost to Marcus Llorente was that header that the two of them just sort of stood and watched, and if you've got Dovbyk coming back in, who's a monster of a guy, that could be a problem. It's such a... Who would have said at the start of the season that Real Madrid Girona was going to
be first versus second in week 23. It's brilliant.
Yeah, exactly.
What's your score then? Just give me a score.
All right. I'll call it an upset. The game's in the Bernabeu.
Yes, at the Bernabeu.
I'm going to go 2-1 to Girona because I actually think they play the better football. They've got more pace in the team. And if the big guy's back and in form and they feed them, I'm going to go for a Girona win.
Meanwhile, big news coming out of Catalonia. Antonio Conte's people have been in touch with Barcelona and says that he is available if they need him to take over in the summer, of course, with Xavi leaving. The bookies don't seem too excited by that prospect. 33-1.
His people have been... apparently, it's a world record of the phone getting from Laporta's ear back to the... that's the old-style phone.
To the receiver. Back to Laporta's old school.
Yeah. That was a record. It was Antonio Conte. Bosh! I mean, can you imagine? This is a guy who's had a lot of success. I'll give you that. That's factually correct. When you talk about this is a marriage made in heaven, this is a marriage made in hell, it's never going to happen. His football is horrendous to watch. He's in the bygone days, I think, when it comes to, a bit like Mourinho, when it comes to how the game is played. And quite frankly, the supporters, never mind the players, would not accept the way he goes about it. Not happening in a million years.
So this weekend, away from Xavi, looking for a new coach, as we mentioned, look, the new Bernabeu is looking brilliant. Real Madrid against Girona. That match is live on Saturday. Be sure to join us. Tomorrow we're doing a big preview. We'll be hearing from Spain. Ali and Stevie will be in the studio to look ahead to that clash.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Meanwhile, the lineup is set, as we mentioned yesterday, for the African Cup of Nations final. It will be Nigeria against Ivory Coast. So many storylines to tackle. Looking ahead to this final as we welcome in Colin Udo. Colin, you were the first man I thought of when that goal got disallowed because of the South African penalty late on. Just tell me your emotions going through that, watching that as a Nigerian.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. I think I'm at a point now where I'm a bit jaded when it comes to football. I've seen these things happen so many times that, you know, I don't get as emotional as before. But my wife was sitting next to me, and when the goal went in, she went absolutely bonkers. And then I was telling her, just wait, let's see what VAR said. Because first of all, I was looking at the Siemens position. I'm thinking, was he offside? It was marginal.
Sure.
And then I looked at the replay, and I thought, okay, he's fine. And then I'm like, there's something else that's going on, because I think there might have been a foul that happened at the other end. But I thought it was right on the line. I didn't think it was going to be a penalty. But as soon as I saw the replay, I'm like, oh no, they're going to give us a penalty. So when the referee came and said penalty, again, she went absolutely bonkers. And I thought, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
And my thought was that, look, I've given the South Africans so much banter going ahead. I know they were waiting for me, because I could see they were saving and bookmarking my tweets and everything else on Instagram. And I knew they were coming for me. But you know what? I said, I don't care. This game's going to go to penalties. And as soon as extra time ended, I tweeted, Nigeria is going to win this PKs. The reason I said that was because you could see the South Africans were playing for PKs, because they had this misguided belief that their goalkeeper was good enough to stop penalty kicks. And I thought he wasn't, because Kevin Venn had made him look good, and Nigeria were not going to make the same mistake.
The character that Nigeria showed is still impressive, Colin, despite, as you mentioned, South Africa playing for penalties. After what happened in that late exchange, to keep the focus and get through on penalties, that's got to be something you're very proud of.
Oh, yeah, certainly. And I think the one man that I've got to give credit to, and look, I know all the players show great character, but we've got to talk about William Troost-Ekong. I mean, when that penalty went in, you could see the team almost drop their heads and were looking a bit disorganized. But you could see him trying to rally them and saying, hey, look, guys, we've still got a game to play. And the coach said at the post-match that they looked a bit disorganized after that, but he got them together. And then when the game ended and they were going to penalties, I don't know if you can find the visual song, but you could see him saying, hey, look, you know what, guys, winning mentality. Yeah. And I saw that and I'm thinking, that's what you need from a captain. And that is that mentality that he got, that made them get that spine, that character, and went in there and got the job done and went over the line.
Meanwhile, as dramatic as that was, Ivory Coast's journey as host has been something out of a Hollywood movie, hasn't it, Colin?
It has been incredible. Look, find me the script writer for this. It's got everything. Upsets, coaching casualties, you know, and then Ivory Coast team coming back from the dead. I mean, how much dead up can a team get and then come back to life and then make their way all the way to the final? It's an incredible story. Mm. We saw the pictures when they thought they were out of the tournament. Hey, I mean, look at that goal from Sebastian Heller. And if you think about it, when they were having trouble in those group stages, these two players, Sebastian Heller and Max Gradel, were not there. Mm. And then they changed their coach, tried to get a coach on loan from the French Football Federation. They didn't succeed. They got an interim coach. And what has he done? He's coming and he's brought players like Max Gradel, who has, along with Serge Aurier, experience of winning the Africa Cup of Nations. And Max Gradel has been an absolute monster. I mean, he's gone on years, but he still has it. And look, he's come on. He's done a great job. He set that cross for Sebastian Heller to score. And I think that just that mentality and then the wave of momentum that they are carrying has seen them this far. And you know what? I mean, if you win them the title, it'll be the most incredible story of all in world football.
So is it fair to say Ivory Coast have got the advantage that they're playing at home, Nigeria have got the better players?
I'd say that to be honest. I mean, man for man, I think Nigeria have got the better players over Ivory Coast. And Ivory Coast have got some good players. Sebastian Heller, Serge Aurier, Max Cradle, Frank Kessie. I mean, Fofana, they've got some really good players. But I think that man for man, Nigeria are the better team. They've scored the same amount of goals. But Nigeria have less than the least number of goals than any other team. And the reason why I think Nigeria, while Cote d'Ivoire might have the crowd behind them, playing at home and all of that, I think from a pure football perspective, you've got to think that Nigeria have the advantage. Because one, Nigeria have allowed the least number of chances to opposition in their goal. They've allowed the least number of shots throughout the tournament at their goalkeeper. They've conceded the least number of goals, just two against them. One of them was a penalty. The other one was a simple defending error that allowed Equatorial Guinea to score. By contrast, Cote d'Ivoire have not had the best tournament. I mean, even if you forget about the group stage. Against Senegal, they were this close to losing and only needed the last-minute penalty to get to penalty kicks. The same thing against Mali. They were this close to losing and then two late goals and then they got in there. So from a pure football perspective, you've got to think Nigeria have the advantage going into this. But when a team is playing at home, you can never tell. And Nigeria only won for the first time on Ivorian soil during the group stages of this tournament. Will Thunder strike a second time? We don't know.
Wow.
Or lightning, rather.
I wonder whether you want it to strike second time, Colin. Brilliant stuff, mate.
I definitely want
enjoy
to
the final. I hope your wife will be okay and be able to survive the 90 minutes. Thank you very much, Colin. Just a reminder, a lot more from Colin on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Be sure to check it out. And that's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Extra time is next.
Cameron never made it then, huh?
No, they didn't. Onana. Stay with us. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time.
You said don't waffle on that blue card thing.
Well, 20 minutes later.
You were trying to chop it off.
It's my last show. I've got 10 days off
after
this. It's
my last show.
This is it. I'm on out.
Until tomorrow.
Thank you very much. Right, Jan and Frank are here. Jan, if you were an accomplished manager and were offered both the Barcelona and Liverpool jobs, which would you pick?
Liverpool. 100%.
Oh.
First of all, Barcelona at a mess at the moment. Even Xavi, who is the manager, says it's a mess. Liverpool, with its tradition, Liverpool being a republic in the kingdom of the UK and all that kind of thing, with their history, with a tradition, Liverpool first, Liverpool second, and then Barcelona fifth or something.
Wow.
Barcelona hater.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to say Liverpool as well, though. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yes, there you are. Frank, Liverpool or Barca?
If I'm selfish and don't think about my wife and her life way, I would say Liverpool. I'm pretty sure my wife would probably prefer to go to Barcelona for the weather, but in terms of football, of organization, everything goes for Liverpool. Right now, there is not even a margin. It's another planet for me.
Frank is throwing his wife under a bus in Liverpool, by the way. And it's the same as Thiago Silva's wife. And what's going on with the wives at the moment?
You know, right. Let's move on, Jan. Let's not get into trouble.
No, but it's only fair. I think nobody can be hard on me if I say that it's better to live in Barcelona than Liverpool.
Frank.
Okay, fair enough.
Frank,
fair enough.
Shut up, Jan. Frank, rate the acting theatrics of these managers for Oscar worthy to the worst. Mourinho, Van Gaal, Klopp and Arteta. Oh, there's only one winner out of four, isn't there?
Well, Mourinho is first, that's for sure. For many things. He knows how to cry, he knows how to shout, he knows how to fight, he knows how to run as well. I've seen that. After, I love Klopp.
But you don't have Van Gaal. Do you remember when he said that he dived? Do you remember the little touch and then he goes down? That's surely worthy of an Oscar.
Yeah, well, that was not stunt actor. That was that was fake. I did not like it. Oh. I did not like it. And Arteta again is too much. He's too many times. You know, you need to rest a little bit.
Right.
Know? I like about Mourinho and Klopp that they're very professional. They wait for the camera to do the right thing. You know, smile, cry, shout. Insult, that's very good. Very good, I love them.
When you interview these managers, do you see them change as the camera's turned on, Jan?
Yeah, very good question. And you know when they come there with Mourinho, start with Mourinho, you don't know which Mourinho is coming. That could be the Mourinho who tells you, what did you see? And I did Roma against Bodø/Glimt. 2-2, I think the game was, and Bodø/Glimt was the better team. And remember, they won 6-1 up in North Norway against Josh Mourinho. At that, he just had a hammer his own team. But in going to the Olympia Stadium in Rome, he was like, what do you think about the referee? And I said, what do you mean about referee? What do you think about referee? And I said, I'm a reporter. What do you think about the referee? Wow. And I told him, well, it's much more interesting to listen to the Roma coach than a reporter from Norway. And then he calmed down and then he was the kind man again. Oh. And yeah, so playing the part they do, but they do a lot of it. Not only Mourinho, they know which part they're going to play. Some of them are very good instructed by the head of communications. But as Frankie is saying, we see through them. Some of them will then have a fake part of them. And I try to find the real one.
Do you have any desire to interview managers?
No. I've never got back on track with Van Gaal ever since he walked into the press conference at Barcelona and completely disrespected Bobby Robson and just went, this is Louis Van Gaal's Barcelona now, and you just thought, mop it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So, arrogant.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Interviewing managers, I don't even want to go to these. It's like going to training, talking to players, even when you go to a match. Yeah, I used to go to matches a lot and go and put the arm around them and all that and talk, get out of here.
Oh.
Talk to them.
Man, what a massive surprise.
Brick wall, son. Brick wall.
Yes.
I'm on this side of the brick wall.
Yeah.
They're on that side.
No.
Right. Whether you like it or not.
This is probably best for Jan. Stevie's not here. Jan, you've probably been there more recently. It's my first time heading to see a Premier League game, Liverpool Anfield, this weekend. Any tips for game day?
Come there very early. Some people are coming too late to games. If you've got a full experience, you have to be there early. And go to Liverpool, do all your different photos, have a look at the memorial kind of a thing they have there. And the statue of Bill Shankly. They got a great fan shop at Anfield. Just try to soak in the history. Whatever team you support in the world, to go to Anfield is a very, very special thing.
Yeah, and don't buy a half and half scarf. I think
no, but you can also have a little trot. No. You can have a little trot across and see Goodison as well.
Okay,
if you want to kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah, exactly. Get there early.
Go across Stanley Park. And a new stadium, stadium of Everton. It looks fantastic.
And I tell you what, I would do from a Stevie perspective.
Oh,
I would get there early, as Jan said, and try one of the many, many but magnificent fish and chip shops that are all round. There's a lot of them right next to the ground and amongst the houses.
Yes.
The good old English chippy.
Yeah.
Go in there and sample some not very healthy, but very tasty.
And then when the game kicks off, put your phone away.
Yeah.
Enjoy the game.
Yeah. When the game kicks off, get out of there.
Dan, I would just also say Liverpool, do the most tourist way of doing a Beatles bus. I was on there with my family. I'm a great Beatles fan, and Beatles fans say, never do that bus and all that. Mm. I did it with my family. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Penny Lane, the barbershop, everything. Fantastic.
Whoa. I bet the kids were really happy about
that. No, you're
going on a cruise, a bit of sunshine, a few pina coladas. He's gone round, pouring down the rain on a bus round Liverpool with the kids.
Gab is the worst.
Yeah.
We're going to the Arctic.
Yeah. All right, kids, don't bring any sun cream.
That's it, we're going to the Arctic to look at some penguins.
Bring a rather large, what do you call those coats over here? We call them a snorkel. You know, with the big, the hood with the big, the fur on it.
Yeah.
What do you call it?
I don't know.
You won't need it.
Like a parka?
You won't need it where you're going.
No, exactly. Well, I hope not.
Don't be jumping off any ships, you know.
All right, okay.
Where are you going, Dan? Where are you going, Dan?
I'm just going to the Caribbean.
He's going on a cruise.
Which island? What island?
I'm not quite sure where the destinations are. I haven't researched it that much. I just know that the food's free.
At least we know. We don't, at least we don't have to worry about you going overboard.
Well, I guess I couldn't be able to reach.
You won't.
Hey.
You won't be able to reach.
Be careful. If I'm overboard now, you regret that.
Yeah.
For Jan, your one-year anniversary run with the fish is coming up. How will you celebrate?
Oh, that
another run, but with a different species of marine life. Maybe a seal.
No, don't come with it again. It's a 1 year.
Oh, no, no.
Good start. No, Frank. I think this is unfair. You are the one.
Have you seen the change of feet?
Yeah, but this is ESPN, and you are the World Cup winner, Frank, and I am the guy who can't hardly beat the fish.
Well,
that's
where it's at.
look at that.
Oh, I like the kind of Chariots of Fire music as well.
You have the light. At least you have the light for like 5 seconds.
Hey, Jan, I think that's Jimmy Carragher in the fish. He's chasing you.
Oh, okay.
You said Salah. You said.
Craig, whatever your name is.
Fred.
Eager viewers would like to know which would you start, bench and drop. An hour-long discussion.
Eager viewers.
Of Mbappe's transfer. Guest hosting Football America with Sebi. Or guest hosting the Gab and Jules podcast with Gab.
Wow. Okay.
Come on, Craig. Yeah. Come on, Craig.
I'll be honest. I'm taking an hour's discussion about Mbappe at the moment.
Wow. So Mbappe's best.
Yeah.
Now are you choosing Sebi or Gab? Which podcast are you going?
Boy, that's a tough one, isn't it?
Seb's here for the whole next week.
I'm not worried about that. I think I'm going to have to go on. I think I'm going to have to go on Football America.
Wow, there you go. The commitment is made. Let's make it happen.
No, I'm not going on it. I mean,
you said you'd be open to going on it. That's what
I've been on it once, and I'm not going on it again.
Frank, after being sidelined once again by injury and his contract ending at United in the summer, what does Anthony Martial's future look like?
Oh. Well, that's the question of the century, you know. his present and his past at Manchester United hasn't been so successful. So I don't know what's going to happen to him. And I think it might be too late for him to reverse anything and go back to his best when he was playing for Monaco and signed for Manchester United and had a very good start with Manchester United and then disappeared. I think he had too much pressure when he came. The price was too high. He didn't handle it properly. And it's over. I just want to wish him to enjoy football if he can carry on. And as every professional that I meet always say, you know, play until really, really fed up, because it's fantastic to be able to play football. And I will say the same to Martial, but in terms of performances,
he's a waster.
He's long gone.
Oh, he's a waster.
We talked about it in the show, didn't we, about Sancho looking back at his career. Did he do enough? Will he think back that he did enough? We won't know everything around the players. There could be different things. They could have bad advisors and everything. We can only judge on what we're seeing. And I think Frank make a very valid point. You have to enjoy your football. And when I see Martial playing, he doesn't seem to enjoy football. And I can't understand that.
I've got this to say, and once again, the lady loves milk tray.
Oh, is that for Frank?
That's probably lost on people here, eh?
Well, yes, the milk tray was a chocolate, box of chocolates, and it was always the man in black who would deliver it to the lady.
He'd climb up the outside of the house.
Well, he'd do lots of things, wouldn't he? He's very much the hero.
And once again, the lady loves
milk
tray.
Right, thanks, Frank. Thanks for interrupting Jan for that. For Jan, with Schalke being in the relegation scrap in Bundesliga 2 and in danger of also losing their pro licence as a club, could it be doomed for one of the historic clubs in Germany?
Well, the second league is a kind of graveyard for historic clubs in Germany. We had Hamburger Sportverein that I follow very closely. They're always playing the relegation game against the third last in the Bundesliga, always losing. There's always something wrong. Schalke has done, there's no continuity. They have tried like every coach that is available. And when they went down, they started invest a lot. And then there were young kids, that was in fashion. And I think that Schalke will survive because Schalke, as they say, maybe the historic club in Germany. I think they will survive. But to see them struggling in the second league with no chance getting back, this is a club who got Özil and Neuer. I mean, that's a lot of players coming from this club. Klaus Fischer what a player he was. And things like that. So now they will survive, but I feel sad when I see clubs from my youth, clubs that we used to love that I played against, struggling. But when you see in the first league with Heidenheim, with Augsburg, with all these small clubs doing a top job, they just deserved. You can't just win a Nostalgica.
Final question. If Craig, Frank and Jan were playing today, who would be the first to get shown a blue card? Even wearing blue would match it. I would say you, Frank, Jan would be the rankings.
Well, Jan has been spotted recently on some historical videos on social media getting involved in some altercations back in the day.
What are you alluding to?
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
The Norwich game, Norwich Swindon. You were seeing the one with the official come, the fan that come on the field. You rugby tackled him.
Now that's for Barnsley against Liverpool. Yeah. When I rugby him.
I'd say you.
I'm 100%.
You, Frank, Jan. Would that be fair?
I would think it would be Frank. And I'll tell you why that Frank will you. Because Frank was a very intelligent player. And he will see when you get a blue card, he will find a way to do harm by only being out for 10 minutes. The rest of me and Craig will get a red card straight away. And I was in danger of using my mouth getting two yellows.
Perfect.
At least if you want to clear the technical area, you get Frank a blue card.
Yep. There we go. That'll do it. Frank, can you do me a favour?
Oh, no. I will go first. And I agree with Jan. Just for one reason.
Go on.
Tell me.
No. Go on, say your reason, then I'll get you to do what I want you to do.
Yeah, well, for one reason, because we need a rest for like 10 minutes. So I will take a good timing, you know, to make sure that I can get a rest and come back fit. That's just a tactical reason.
Beautiful. All right, last request for me, Frank.
That's got to be good.
Before I go away. Can you turn your TV off behind you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, because you love it. You only see my head. So it's funny. Yeah, I agree. I love it.
Ready?
I love it too.
Here we go.
Hey! Yes.
My God. So there's me, you, Jan, and a head.
Look at that floating head there. It's beautiful. Oh, look at that acting, mate.
Oh, my God.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much, guys.
What an improvement.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
7K will be in charge over the next couple of weeks.
How long are you off for?
10 days. Oh, yes. Oh. Goodbye.
Nice holidays, my dear.
Thank you, my dear.